Hello, everyone. This is Bishop Dr. Gregory Scott welcoming you once again to Glory United Ministries program. It is WGUM. This evening, today, friends, we're experiencing a few technical difficulties. For some reason, our computer link decided to drop down. So in the meantime, while we're waiting for the computer link to revive itself, then let's just take a moment for a prayer. We know it's been a long day or a long night, depending on what time of day it is that you're listening to the program. We know that life's challenges, if your life is like ours, life's challenges have continued to confront us. We know that it is not life itself that challenges us. It is the devil. It is the tempter. It is the evil one who is trying to keep us experiencing all that God has for us. So let's go with that prayer. Oh God, you are God. This is your humble servant. Your humble servants, Gregory and Patricia, standing before you, before the altar of glory, knowing that you, Lord, are there in your radiant beauty, and that we, Lord, await your blessings. Lord, we want to thank you for all that you have done for us and all that you are doing. And Lord, we ask not for others, we ask not for ourselves. We ask only that you will guide us and protect us and lead us through this wilderness. Lead us through this forest. Lead us past the evil ones. Lead us past those who would deny us what is rightly due us. Lord, take us past those who are holding back the gifts and glories and the wonders that you have for us to behold. Lord, our hearts rest solemnly with you. Lord, we just radiate in the blessing and joy of your Son, Jesus Christ. We know, Lord, that there are many illnesses and temptations and obstacles and hurdles that are placed before us. But, Lord, we know that as we move forward in your glory, that as we feel and know that the windows of heaven are open, that they're pouring down upon us, that they're going through every cell of our bodies, Lord, we know that the healing that you have ordered for us is already done. Lord, we know that the prosperity, such as it may be, which you have ordered for us is already done. And Lord, we know that we don't have to wait, it's already here. And Lord, we know that we have to live our lives knowing that we are in the fullness of your love. And Lord, as we move past others who have not yet come to understand what Jesus has for us, who have not come to understand that he is the way by which the heavenly kingdom may be entered, who have not come to understand that in your glory and in his glory, his is thine and thy are his. And Lord, we are yours forever now and evermore. Lord, we ask that every single blessing that you would bestow upon us, that you are bestowing upon us, upon our families, upon our children, upon our neighbors, even upon our dogs and cats. Lord, we ask that those blessings continue to flow and manifest, blossom and bloom as we go through our daily trials. Lord, the trials and tribulations sometime are almost overcoming us. But even so, Lord, just when we feel like we're sinking beneath the waves, Lord, that's when we know, that's when we know, that's when we remind ourselves that we are in your hands and that we are at your mercy. Yes, Lord, we know that. Amen. So, Lord, these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, I want you right now just to take a moment as we pull up the next song that we want play from the Billy Cummings songbook. It is a favorite of Pastor Patricia Benjamin, who will let me know when she does a double tap. Now, when she does a double tap on this program, the little question mark will disappear. And when she comes back to the line and she taps again, that little question mark will appear. And at that point, we'll rejoice in joy because our beloved Pastor Patricia Benjamin will be with us once again. Here's her favorite, Benny Cummings. Lift him up.
How to reach the masses, men of every bird form and answer. Jesus gave the key. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread, oh Lord. Lift up the Savior for men to see. And he said it by.
Savior up for men to see. Dr. Scott is so right. I can hear anything at any time that my music scholar sings. Benny Cummings, the late Benny Cummings, lift him up, lift the Savior up for men to see. And in doing so, the benefits will be, he said, if you lift me up, then I will draw all men unto me. So there is a work that we must do in order to release the Lord to do the things that he desires to do. You know, when he went to pray for some of the people, and he said there was only a few miracles wrought because the people did not believe. And He also said that a prophet is without honor in his own country, in his own place. That is true for many people. You can be a resident, a child that grew up there, and somehow you are overlooked, and then there's someone come in that's a total stranger, and they get all of the juice from the berry while you were there laboring and working and making things happen and keep things going. You are pushed aside. But I need somebody to help me lift Jesus. And he said, it's so simple. He says, if you would just clap your hands. Well, the psalmist said, clap your hands, all ye people. And it tells us to shout unto the Lord with a voice. Shout unto the Lord with your voice. Shout, He is Lord. We sing this song at Easter, but I feel like it should be Easter all the day long. When you sing this song, He is Lord. He is Lord. He's not just Lord at Easter on our calendar. This is the month of October. He is Lord. Why is He Lord? Because He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And because He is Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. There is no other name. It's only Jesus. I do not compromise. I don't care what religious organization you belong to. There is only one name whereby men can be saved, women too, and that is the name Jesus. That's it. Jesus Christ died for us. And only Jesus can save us from ourselves, meaning our sin. Our sin is our worst enemy. I heard Dr. Scott mention the devil a little while ago, but I'm sure if you noticed that some things that we go through is not caused by the devil. It's caused by self. We self-inflict things upon us. I'll give you a prime example. For the doctor will say, leave the salt alone. It's not good for you. And yet you leave the doctor's office and load your plate up, your food, with salt. And then you sit around miserable and say, oh, I've got a headache, a blinding headache. I can hardly see. My pressure is up. Because you took it upon yourself to do that to yourself. I am a diabetic, and my sugar one morning was higher than it should have been. And I wasn't going down to the hospital, neither was I going to call the doctor. I just simply got up and took some more insulin to bring it down, but I know exactly how it got that way. I like to cook. I love to bake. I like sugar, but sugar isn't good for me. But so I do these things. The enemy doesn't do this to some of us. So I'm not going to give him praise for making me fail. No, I did that. I preached a sermon once, the good that I should, that I did not. And that what I should not, I did. It's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. It's been a long time since I brought that message. But that isn't my message tonight. How to reach the masses, men of every verb for an answer. Jesus gave the key. And the key is, if I be lifted. I think the scripture said, if I and I, or some kind of, it's been a long time since I've read that. Be lifted from the earth. I'll draw all men unto me. Well, we're approaching a storm, a hurricane. Song we sing, it's a storm out over the ocean, and it's moving this old way. And if your soul's not anchored in Jesus, it will surely drift the way. Well, you see, you have no clue of the damage that the storm could possibly do. We here in New York, particularly on the island, the eastern end of Long Island, have been blessed. We have the Atlantic Ocean. I'd say it's about 4 miles from here, at least one part of it is. And when the hurricane is coming, we can stand on the front porch and we can hear it roaring. I mean, she's angry. Yes, she is. We come on back in the house and we close the door. And we say, God, my life is in your hand. Woo! For such a time as this, my life is in your hand. So it behooves us to be ready, because he may come and get you in the storm. For I understand some people have lost their lives. So they are already gone. It was a storm coming, and it took them to meet the other side. So we have to be ready or not. If the Lord comes, don't let him catch you with your work undone. Live every day as if it's your last day. It may be my last time. I don't know. I tell you, we don't know, but this I do know, that because he lives, whether the storm comes or not come, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And because the master lives, all fears are gone. And because I know that he holds the future, life is worth the living, because the master, Jesus is the master. This ain't no genie religion. Genie calls the chief or whatever he is on I Dream of Genie, she calls him master. One of the reasons that it's okay, let me just say it like this. The reason why she's calling him master, because she loves him. And she'll do anything. She'll blink her eyes for him. She'll make things happen for him. That's just how much she loves him. And that's the way we should be about Jesus. We should love the master so much that we will lift up Jesus for men to see. Can someone see you in a grocery store and tell whether you are a child of God or not? I know we wear shirts that identify that we are Christians. We like the saying that's on our shirts and we wear it. But can someone see your light from the inside out? I recall being in the store in Delaware many years ago. And as I'm walking down the aisle, there was a lady in the aisle and she fell up against the rack, and she said, oh my God. And I said, honey, are you all right? She said, oh my God, you have to be an angel. So I stood, and she said, because the light is so bright when I look at you. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we lift up Jesus for men to see. A light needs to shine. There's no way that you can tell me that you have the light of Christ and no one can see it but you. People ought to be able to identify you in the crowd. That, oh, there's one over there. I was in Europe. I was in Paris, and we were going to the Louvre to see Mona Lisa. And the woman said to me the very next day when we were leaving to come back to the United States of America, I stopped by because I wanted to get a souvenir for my aunt. And they stopped me by the little store, and I popped out, and I went in, and I saw an apron that says, I like Paris or something. I said, oh, my aunt will like that. So the lady said to me that was working in the store, she said, I saw you yesterday. And so I looked at her. Lady, you don't know me, you know. But I didn't speak. I just looked at her like, okay. So she said, I saw you yesterday. She said, I had a booth, and she told me where her booth was located in the loop. She said, I saw you. Now, there was hundreds of people in the loop. But out of all of the hundreds of people, I stood out in the crowd. Why? Because my light was on. I had a light on so bright that day because there was many spirits in that place. As I approached the building, the Lord began to speak to me. Because I saw on the outside the post where they beheaded people, all that innocent blood was there, and God began to tell me there's a lot of evil here. Although we tourists just traveling and looking at this and paying to see that and what have you, but we don't have a clue of the souls that was taken when they should not have been beheaded. They were beheaded. And guess what? They paid it no attention. It didn't mean anything. No one had compassion on the people that they killed. So I began to pray that none of these spirits would attack me. And that's probably what made me stand out so to the woman, because I was not near where her booth was. I could see the booth, but I wasn't near it. And she said, I saw you yesterday. She went as far as to even tell me what I had on. So she gave me a discount on the apron. I bought 5 or 6 of them. After she said, I'll give you a discount, whatever you get, I'll give you a discount. And I said, well, thank you. She said, yeah, and she said it again. She said, I saw you on yesterday. Now, I know what she was trying to say. She was trying to tell me, I saw you because there's something different about you. All of the thousands and hundreds of thousands of people that visit Europe and go to that place, Angelo or something, who put all this painting and stuff, did those mirrors on the wall, and the gentleman that I was with made a statement in sarcasm, more or less. He said, well, there's your Jesus on the wall. And I said, hold up here. Let me tell you this. My Jesus is not on the wall. He's not even on the cross. He got off the cross. And he rose again. I told him. I said, my Jesus is on the inside of me. And everywhere I go, he goes with me. That's not my Jesus on that wall. My Jesus is on the inside. There wasn't anything else said. There was not another statement made. Because I don't allow you to joke about my Jesus. I don't play that. But the woman knew that there's a woman over there who's different. Because I was praying, God, save these people. Lord, continue to have your mercy upon them. Let them begin to seek after you so that you can do the same thing for them that you've done for me. Fill them with the Holy Ghost. Being saved is not just enough. You have to be holy. For the Lord said, be ye holy, for I am holy. Didn't say be saved because I'm saved. Says be ye holy, for I am holy. And it makes a difference. People should be able to see the light of Christ on the inside of you. I feel good, you know, every week. I'm always excited, no matter what the situation may be, the circumstance or what have you. I feel good down in my soul. I'm expecting God to do great things, and I'm glad about it. And I know he's able to do great things, and I'm just so grateful. I was in service on last week, and I tell you, those preachers poured out their souls, bringing us the word of God. And I just appreciate it. I just sat there and I became a sponge in the service. And I just soaked up all of the moisture of the word. And I applied it not to my neighbor. I applied it to myself. Oh, I thank God. I thank God. I thank God. So Hurricane Matthew is making his way. But in the book of Matthew, I want you to know, for the Bible declares in that 24th chapter of the book Matthew, it says here in the Word of God, 24 and 33, you all read this, please, because it's some good pickings here. But I'll start at verse 33. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Now, to know what I'm talking about, you have to go and read it from the beginning. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass. Away. How can we be saved without the word of God? You cannot maintain being saved and sanctified without the word of God. I despise the people that feel like once is enough. Only on Sunday I go and the rest of the week I could care less. My pastor, God bless him, who's gone on to glory, and he said, it's just a little habit that they acquire. For we go to church on Sunday, do nothing on Monday. It's just a little habit that they acquire. And he went on to link it up with every day through the week, but he always put in there for it's just a little habit that they've acquired. It's a habit that I go on Sunday to the house of the good Lord. But on Monday, if there's a service, or Tuesday, or Wednesday, or Thursday, or Friday and Saturday, I don't have time for that. I'd rather stay home and watch Monday night football. But let the doctor give you some bad news. You want to call upon Jesus. Now, how about if he only has time for you just Sunday while you're at the church? And when you come home from church and get back in your easy chair and put your television on it, catch whatever your favorite program is, whether it's a Western or whether it's a sitcom or whether it is whatever it is. And he said, well, I don't have to protect you anymore. I don't have to give you life anymore. I only need to do these things for you on Sunday. But Monday, you don't reverence me. Tuesday, you don't know my name. Wednesday, you've forgotten who I am. Thursday, you have to think about who I am. Friday, you may think about him when it comes time to fry the fish because he took 2 fish and 5 loaves. And on Saturday, it's just my day, God, and you can't interrupt my day. But I tell you, when I came up, the saints of old, they went to church 7 times 7. It didn't bother them. They loved the Lord just like that, that they wanted to be in his house. Oh, yes, I can get in the presence of the Lord in my house. I'm in my house right now. And am I in his presence? Yes, I am. But you see, when you are in the church, there's no interruptions. You can be free to just lay out in the Lord. You don't have to worry about the telephone ringing. You don't have to worry about the things that go on in a house. Somebody may come by this time of the night trying to sell a magazine. They're not coming to church trying to sell no magazine. And God is in the building because it's been dedicated to him. It's like a hospital. You need to go to the hospital. You don't need to go to the hospital for treatment, but if they're going to cut your toe off, you need to go there for that. They're not going to cut your toe off in the house. Even if the toe is rotten and hanging off, they will not do it. They'll say, let's get her or him to the hospital. And that's what the church was to the saints of old. The church was their hospital. I've got to get out of here and get to the hospital because I need to be where the equipment is that can save my life. And that's what that equipment is, the altar. I go and I lay out on the altar and I begin to beseech God on my behalf. And God meets me at his house. And he welcomes me to call upon his name. I know this seems like a strange message, and it is a strange message. But don't let a hurricane frighten you that you want to stand and say, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord, have mercy. God has not heard from you since the last hurricane. My God in heaven, I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't do me the way I do him. Sometimes I just get up and start my day. Later on, I'll say, Lord, I thank you for this day. But I should have started the morning out with God. I give you praise. I give you thanks. I give you glory. I give you honor. For last night, For while I slept and slumbered or tossed and turned, you kept me safe. I just thank God for that. And we need to learn how to thank God. My words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth, we talk about heaven all the time. Oh, she's in heaven. Oh, he's in heaven. But the Bible declares that heaven and earth will pass away. Now, listen, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from the Father above. Now, that's true. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, but the old one is going to pass away. But God's word is going to stand forever. So we need to have that seal, the word of God. We need to learn to read the word. We read books, we watch TV all day long, and we don't have time for the word of God. I too am guilty. I don't preach to you that I don't preach to myself. We all take the time and sit down for 3 hours and read God's word. But we can sit down and read all that mess and junk that's not doing you any good, that cannot save your life. You can't pray to that book you just read, except it be the Bible, but you can pray to the Lord. You can't pray to that television show, the haves and the have-nots. If you don't have Jesus, you are just what that program says. You are have and have not. Because if you don't have Jesus, you don't have anything. But the songwriter said, I'd rather have Jesus more than anything. Woo! I tell y'all, you know what happens. I get excited. Let me read the book. But of the day and hour, no man knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Look at your neighbor and say, only God. I don't care what the forecaster might forecast, this, that, and the other, and somebody will come up with, you know, by the time 2022, God is going to come. No, come on here. Read Matthew. It tells you exactly what's going on. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that the Noah entered the ark. They were getting their party on. They was having all kinds of things to take place. They were even laughing at Noah because there had not been such thing as rain. And he's building a boat, they say, on sand. But Noah was not discouraged or distracted by the people. He kept on listening to the voice of God. And he built safety. That's what he was building, safety for himself. And those that God told him to bring with him, they were saved. Those that made fun and said, hey, it's my thing, I'll do what I want to do. If you can't tell me what to do, I'm grown. I don't have to listen to you. Hey, they were the ones that was destroyed by the flood. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen to this. I know some of you never heard this before. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master, if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready. For the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I just told you a few moments ago, you got to be ready. Be ready. I know Benny Cummings wrote a song, "Be Ready When He Comes Again," because he's coming again so soon. I thank God for his word on tonight. I'm excited every time I read the word of God in your hearing and in my own hearing. Sometimes you just need someone to just point out some things to you. No one know the day nor the hour. I just read it in that 24th chapter of Matthew. The time is getting close, but not yet. But God doesn't want you to be left out in the flood. So as the saints of old would say, come on, children, get in the ark of safety. And the ark of safety is in Jesus Christ. In him you live, you move, and you have your being. But he is that ark that protects you from the flood, that will devour you. He protects you. He covers you with his wings. He covers you with his life. He holds you in his hand, and he doesn't let these things happen to you, and yet you have time for everybody and everything. Someone said, you're going to church again? Yes, I am. I'm going to church again. Because at the church house, even though the enemy is at the church house, but he just can't get saved, that's all. But he comes to do what he needs to do. He presents his resume. It's up to you to take the bait. But yes, I go to God's house. I get my strength. Might even get my dance on. I lift up my praise. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, with the heart of thanksgiving, I will bless thee, O Lord. And that's it. We come together in the sanctuary and we lift our hands. For the Bible says one can chase 1,000 and two could put 10,000. Just imagine how dynamite you are. Just one by yourself can chase 1,000. But when two of you get together, you can take care of 10,000. Just two. Because there's unity. And in unity, this strength, it says, oh, how good it is that brethren should dwell together in unity. You shouldn't always be solo. When you're a child of the Most High God, you need to mingle with the peculiar people, for the Bible declares that we are a peculiar people, a nation, a royal priesthood. And no, you shouldn't be classified with the mess and the junk. And listen, Jesus went around. He sat, yes, he did. He sat it in the place with the wine bibbers. Yes, he did. He talked to the whore. Yes, he did. He told the thief, today will thou be with me in paradise. Yes, he did. He did all of those things, but he did it so that he could reach them. Everyone who came in contact with Jesus never was the same. Once they came in his presence, in contact with Jesus, they was not the same anymore. The whore said, or hooker, whatever you want to call it, she said, hey, look here, come here, come here, come here. Come see the man. I want you to meet the man who told me all about myself. She changed when she had that encounter with Jesus. The woman who had the issue of blood, she didn't have to have an ultrasound or an MRI. She didn't need a CAT scan. All she needed was just a touch of the master's garment. Her faith took her to his garment. Maybe, perhaps, it was against the law for her to get that close to Jesus, to touch his skin. So she said, well, look here, the apple don't fall far from the tree. So if he is who he is, then the clothing that he wear also got to be blessed like he is. So she said, just let me touch the sleeve of his garment and I'll be made whole. She spent all her money. There was nothing less but Jesus, nothing left but Jesus. The song says, if you tried everything and everything had failed, try Jesus. That's a shame that we would live that way, that we put everything before Jesus and only to find out that you got to come back. That's why it's every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess he is Lord. I don't care what your outfit is. You can be the seven stars or whatever it is, seven, whatever. Anyhow, you could be the Eastern Star. That's, my grandmother was the Eastern Star. And they did all those rituals at her funeral, and grandma still was dead. But Jesus, even if you're dead, Jesus can raise you up. He did it for Lazarus, and there's others that he did it for. The man said, look here, just speak the word. I'm a man in authority myself. Speak the word. Jesus spoke the word when the man got home. What time did this take place? I just want to know what time it is. They told him what time it took place. He said, that's the time that Jesus spoke the word. Live! Cannot die. Oh my God. We need Jesus to speak a word, but we have to seek him to get the word out of his mouth. The man went looking for Jesus. And when they found him, Jesus rewarded him. When you go looking for Jesus, he'll reward you for seeking him. Seek him while He may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Oh, wait till you're in the hospital on a gurney and call his name. That ain't working, right? Oh, yeah, okay, the thief on the cross. Oh, yeah, he saved the thief on the cross because he had not shed his blood yet. So it wouldn't be fair for him to have the thief on the cross next to him and the thief recognize that this is Jesus, that I'm on the cross. Jesus is between me. Jesus, listen to this, Jesus is between life and death. My God, he's in the middle. He's life and death. He's getting ready to die, but there's something about this Jesus that I heard about long ago, but I never saw that then. But consequences would have that he and I would be on the cross at the same time. We're in the same place, the same location. So I'm going to see if the power that they talked about that I ignored, I'm going to see if it still works. So he said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me, please. I messed up. I'm being crucified for my lifestyle. There is no more lifestyle for me. The only thing left for me is death. But Jesus, I just know that you are life. And if you would just but remember, would you remember me, Jesus? Jesus said, today will thou be with me in paradise. Some of us need to cry out and ask God to be with us. Remember me, God. But the blood was not shed yet for the remission of sin. But one thing about Jesus, whether he shed his blood or not, he still had the power to raise the dead. And he has the power to raise you out of your dead situation. I'm getting ready to close this broadcast, because there's no need for me to keep on going and going and going and going. I think you've heard enough that if you're not a child of God, you will say, Lord, help me. I don't know how to pray a long prayer, but I know how to say, help me. That's all it takes is a help me, Lord. And he will help you. He will carry you through. Many a day I had to cry while I was smoking my cigarettes and doing my thing, church girl, being taught right from wrong, being filled up with the word. The word was greatly deposited into me as a child because God knew this day was coming, that I would need to have much word in me because of the people that I have to go after. They've not heard some of what I just read. They've never heard that before. But I would sing to the Lord, I need thee, oh, I need thee. I remember I was in a situation and I didn't know how I was going to fare. And I went down in the basement here at my mom's house, and I just made some laps around in the basement just crying and singing, I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. So bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. And God met me, and he fixed it. just like it ought to be. I remember not long ago that I had a situation and I just said, God, it's just too much. It's just so overwhelming. And I went for a walk. And I walked and I stopped. And I looked up towards heaven. And I cried out, Lord, deliver me. And he did. He delivered me that day when I asked him for deliverance. Mm-hmm. Because I received a telephone call from Houston, Texas. The young woman called and I wasn't in the house. And so she left a message and asked me to please call. It was important. And I called her. And she said, at that time, I was evangelist. She said, evangelist, God told me to tell you that the prayer that you prayed this morning, he heard you, and he's already fixed it. Oh, my God in heaven. Woo, my God. He is my rock, my sword, my shield. He's my wheel in the middle of the wheel. He's my shelter. In the time of storm, these storms be raging in our life, but we have the Ark of Christ. He will hide us in his shadow. Woo, my God. Come on, people. Praise the Lord. Live for the Lord. Yes, witness to those who, but you see, you know, you can't, I can't tell a person how to make spaghetti, if how to cook spaghetti, let me put it that way, because I still don't know how to make it. I know they use flour and water and dough and all that, and then they run it to some sort of press that cuts it in the shape that you want it to be in, and then it has to dry out or be baked or something. I watch some of that stuff on television. So I can't really tell you how to make spaghetti or pasta. Let's just say pasta, elbow noodles and curly ones and bows and all that is pasta. But I know how to cook it. I can't tell you how to make it. So you can't witness. The blind cannot lead the blind. That's scripture. Except they both fall over in the ditch. So don't try to be a witness for the Lord when you don't know him. That's my point. If you don't know him, you cannot witness. For you must be having some sort of acquaintance with the Lord. When you tell somebody that Jesus is able to bring you out, you have to know what you're talking about. Because if you don't know what you're talking about, they're going to come back at you and say, you told me that the Lord would do this and do that, and he didn't do it. So don't be, just tell someone, come to Jesus. He's the one. He's the one. Show them in the scripture that he gave his life. He was a ransom. That he gave his life that you would have the right to the tree of life. That you don't have to bow down to any man. Yes, we do it terribly in the Church of God in Christ. We worship the bishops. And we worship apostles so and so and so. And we won't even testify. I thank God. We were taught when we were children, and I'm closing, Dr. Scott. We were taught when we were children to stand up and testify. Did we have a testimony like the adults? No. But our church mother said, children, get up and testify. Just tell the Lord, thank the Lord for being here, and take your seat. And that's what we did. On Sunday night, Tuesday night, Friday night, the children, every one of us, had to get up and testify. And we said, I thank the Lord for being here. And as we got older, we added, I thank the Lord for being here. I thank the Lord for life, health, and strength. I thank the Lord for my mother and my father. I thank the Lord for my family. We were taught to give thanks. And I'm glad because I can be vacuuming the floor and I will be saying, Lord, I thank you. Something as small as running the vacuum. I said, Lord, I thank you. I'm mopping the floor. I hate to mop. I said, Lord, I thank you. When I'm sweeping, I just tell God, I thank you. Because it could be where I wouldn't be able to do these things. So I bless you, God. I don't take it for granted. I'm not my own. It's not my strength that I'm using. It's yours. You are the giver of strength. You are the giver of life. So therefore, I owe you my praise. I owe you my thanks. Lord, I thank you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And the people of God say, Amen.
How to reach the masses. In every bird form and answer, Jesus gave the key. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Oh, Lord, lift up the Savior for men to see. And he said it by.
And kick out 16 million people. And